Chapter 9. Vince. In which a head is returned to its body. Alan Kovac was a sneaky little bastard. And I mean that in the best sense of the word bastard, because I am probably a father to many. I was in Manhattan with my manager, Bert Stein, doing press for what would be my last solo tour, when we ran into Kovac in our hotel lobby. Kovac, who convincingly made his presence there seem like an accident, invited us up to his room to talk and order room service. He sat Bert and me down and began a sales pitch. Vince, you can get as angry as you want with me, but you have to ask yourself, are you a star as a solo artist? I answered him with a glare that signified neither yes nor no, but hatred. I'll go on, he went on. In the environment of four guys in a group called Motley Crue, you are a real star. And the audience that comes to see you gets its money's worth. Is the audience that comes to see the Vince Neil Band really getting what it pays to see? He went on and on and on until I began to realize that he saw the big picture. And the big picture was that I wasn't going to make it on my own as a solo artist, and Motley Crue weren't going to make it on their own as an alternative rock band. I asked him if he had discussed this with Nicky or Tommy, and he said that they didn't know a thing, but that he could help make it happen. Before the meeting, I didn't really want to be back in Motley Crue. I just wanted to bury the hatchet, get the quarter share of the brand name I deserved, and move on. But with his bullshit, Kovac fertilized a seed that just kept growing. When months later, I saw Nicky and Tommy at the Hyatt, we eventually came around to the idea that we needed to be together and that the rest of this stuff, the lawyers, the name-calling, the suing, was ridiculous. My lawyer bills alone already added up to $350,000, and they were sure to double if I continued the lawsuit. So by the end of the meeting, I told my lawyers, we want to get this thing back together again. You guys do whatever it takes to get it done, and if you don't, you're fired. A week later, I went to Nicky's house, where they were recording the album, and heard some of the tracks. Oddly, Nicky and I started to get very close very quickly. But Tommy, ever since he married Heather, thought he was a movie star. And now that he was married to Pamela Anderson, it was even worse. He thought he was better than everybody else, and he made it very clear that I was back in the band against his will. There were a few times when he was so condescending that I said, fuck you guys. Go ahead and make a record without me. I don't give a shit. Maybe he was jealous of Nicky's friendship with me. I didn't know what it was. I never heard the album they did with Karabi, but a few weeks after I started recording with them again, Karabi stopped by. We drank a couple of beers and bullshitted for a while. He said that he was glad I was back in the band because the last year had been rough on him. And I surprised myself because I actually liked him. He was a pretty cool guy. After a week of recording, most of us started feeling pretty stupid. Everything sounded right. Everything sounded like Motley. We were a band again, and that was how it was supposed to be. Even Tommy seemed to be accepting his fate and begrudgingly at first liking the songs. Everyone was happy except for Mick, who seemed ready to lay down his guitar and quit the band.